They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Currency and trade, those are big themes this week as U.S. and Chinese negotiators talk ahead of more U.S. tariffs on Chinese goods. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Chinese and American officials meet today in Washington. This is ahead of the latest round of U.S. tariffs on another $16 billion worth of Chinese goods set to go into effect on Thursday. That brings the total to $50 billion worth of Chinese imports now being targeted. One charge President Trump has repeated over and over, he said it again in a Reuters interview yesterday, is that China is, quote, absolutely manipulating its currency. Well, what does that mean and why is it important when it comes to trade? Viraj Patel is a currency strategist at ING Economics in London.
It in effect means that a central bank or monetary authority in that country is either buying or selling foreign exchange rates to either stabilize or weaken their own currency. A lot of emerging market central banks, a lot of smaller open economies engage in some of these practices, namely to stem any massive currency appreciation.
I guess the point here is that a weaker currency makes China's exports, I guess President Trump would say, unnaturally competitive. Is he right?
The currency is only one element here when it comes to trade practices and trade competitiveness, and there's so many other factors that go into it. In actual fact, labeling China a currency manipulator, there's actually a formal process that the US Congress has laid out. And right now, the Chinese economy and the Chinese practices do not allow it for US Treasury to deem China a currency manipulator.
I mean, indeed, in April, the US Treasury said that China is not a currency manipulator. That would suggest this is political.
I think the president interjects in here in FX markets is a pretty clear sign that he has an implicit desire to see a weaker dollar. And that makes sense for given US trade policy right now. It is more mercantilist. The idea is to boost US competitiveness, boost US exports, reduce the current account deficit. And for that to work, the dollar cannot strengthen. And he will continue to talk about it in a sense that will effectively keep markets cautious over dollar policy. Jawboning will be a thing that we will see going on throughout the administration.
And is that jawboning combined with the tariffs, is that achieving President Trump's goals?
Right now, we think it can be effective, not least because the market has had a good dollar rally. But jawboning and talking the dollar down can only be effective in the short term. It doesn't naturally offset some of the fundamental flows. And right now, the tariffs and the trade wars are driving currencies in the rest of the world lower. So it's quite conflicting here. But at least in the short term, we think some of this talk could stem the dollar's recent rally.
Viraj Patel, let's do the numbers. Global markets are higher as investors await today's U.S.-China trade talks. The U.S. dollar, meanwhile, is down nearly 0.5% this morning, seeing its biggest weekly decline since early June. Now, this drop comes after President Trump said he was, quote, not pleased with Fed Chief Jay Powell's rate rises. The president said the central bank should do more to boost the economy. It's not just China or the U.S. caught up in that trade war. Most Asian economies are intricately linked to China through their supply chains. So what hurts Beijing can also hurt South Korea, Taiwan, and Singapore. The BBC's Asia business correspondent Karishma Vaswani has more.
The steady hum of machines producing speakers and air fresheners for customers around the region. This business was set up by Joyce Xiao's dad in the 1970s. It now employs more than 300 people. But now this family-run firm could be collateral damage in the U.S.-China trade war. Joyce and her dad have just found out that the speakers they make in their Chinese factory could see a 25% tariff placed on them if the latest threats from Washington to target $200 billion worth of Chinese goods becomes a reality.
Oh, we are very disappointed and in a lot of discomfort because I'm not knowing what lies ahead.
Joyce's business is not the only one affected. Singapore is a uniquely trade-dependent country and is likely to be one of the hardest hit in the region.
I'm at the Singapore port. Singapore is known as a transshipment hub. That means 9 out of the 10 containers that come here are actually destined for another country. Much like everywhere else in this region, Singapore is now at risk.
But it's not just Singapore that will be hurt, as the country's Minister of Trade, Chan Chun Seng, points out.
If global confidence is shaken and everybody withhold their investment, then I think we will suffer quite serious consequences for the entire global economy.
Alice Fullwood is the Southeast Asia economist for UBS Bank in Singapore.
In general, these attacking, raising tariffs, they tend to backfire because they tend to reduce growth everywhere and make everyone more defensive. I guess you also have to be cautious of what the sort of actual goals of politicians are. It may just be a sort of, Trump said he was going to do something about trade. He's doing something about trade. His voters may well like that. That may help him through the midterms, and there could be a sort of different strategy afterwards.
That's not much consolation for small business owners like Joyce and her dad. They're already thinking of moving their production base to Vietnam to mitigate the Chinese tariff threat. With the threat of even further tariffs, though, the cost of doing business in China has just become far more risky.
Karishma Vaswani in Singapore. Finally,
working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living.
Dolly Parton might need to revise that classic hit because, at least in the UK, according to a survey, just 6% of adults work 9 to 5 these days. Most opt for flexible working. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
For service and devotion, you would think that I would deserve a fair promotion.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.